Let us join our hearts in prayer. Our gracious Father in heaven, we thank and praise you for bringing to us your gracious invitation to the wonderful feast of salvation. We pray that you would continue to work in our hearts a desire to receive this with great love and affection, and help us always to cling to this invitation as we look forward to the day when we will be by your side at the feast above. We ask it all in our Lord's name. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed who have been purchased and bought back to God by the suffering, death, and resurrection of his only Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God's grace and his kindness and compassion are yours, to be found alone in this Savior. Amen. You probably have opened a wedding invitation before. I'm impressed every year how they're getting more and more impressive, I guess I would say. Some of them are getting rather dramatic. Now we're even to the point of sending out a save the date card well enough in advance. Some are sending out email invitations, electronic invitations. It's changed quite a bit since I used to print wedding invitations at Carlson Craft up in North Mankato when I was the age of you college students. Imagine opening your mail today and being invited to a three-day wedding celebration. Typically, it's only a day or so. And imagine also that a package comes along with the invitation that contains inside of it special clothing that you're asked to wear when you come to the wedding, fitted exactly to your size for you and whoever is coming with you. That was not uncommon in Jesus' day when people, especially of wealth, would invite somebody to a wedding. They would oftentimes send them the very garments they wanted them to wear, which helps us better understand the imagery that Jesus is drawing upon in the parable we had just read to us, to teach us this marvelous truth about God's grace and the way that his kingdom operates. It's very clear in this parable that Jesus intends to show us that God has invited us to the great feast of heaven, the banquet for his Son. I've only really helped to plan one big wedding, and that was my daughter's a number of years ago. And my wife and I went ahead of time to the banquet hall to see what it would be like. We went inside. They even prepared the different types of foods that they could make there, and we got to taste all of them. We got to see what the wedding cake would look like. We got to hear what music and help select out exactly what music would be played. Some of you looking forward to your weddings in a few years ahead will have all of that fun as well. And it was interesting to be along on that. I had very little say in it, actually. When we think about the great banquet feast of heaven that our Lord is describing, we can only think of it in terms of trying to imagine based on things we've enjoyed in this life. But our Lord Jesus, the very Son of God, can speak of this subject with authority because he has been in that banquet hall and he has tasted the very food of heaven itself, and he has listened to the glorious music that is sung there around the throne of God. And it is he who has come into this world with the one sole purpose to get you there so that you could come there. And he's the one that explains to us this beautiful invitation. Everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. Notice that everything is already done. Our Lord Jesus, through his death on the cross and by his glorious resurrection, has accomplished everything. There's nothing yet that has to be added. There's nothing that God comes to you or me and says, there's one last thing that you must fulfill, and then we can invite you to the wedding. If you can hear my voice tonight, the invitation for you to come is there, and everything is all taken care of. We see in our text that the king is deeply upset and angered when those who've been invited reject this invitation. Many scholars believe that Jesus told this parable in particular to an audience of Jewish people, trying to demonstrate to them a very special warning that they had been first on the list as the messianic people who would receive the things of God. They had the oracles of God in their midst, the prophets, the temple. They had all of these wonderful advantages. And yet so many of them ultimately pushed Christ away and pushed the gospel away and pushed away God's wonderful grace toward us. We read that very sharp line, the king was enraged and burned their city. Possibly a prophetic word about the destruction of Jerusalem that came in 70 AD. There's a lesson here for us as well today. We have been blessed and had advantages with the things of God in our midst. God has in your life and mine, right here on this campus, or maybe elsewhere in your life, through your family and through your church and through your upbringing, has blessed you with hearing the gospel over and over again. Sad to say, just like many of the Jews in Jesus' day, sometimes we can start to think that there are more important things and push it away as well. So Jesus' words are just as sharp for us tonight too. Do not push this invitation away. Seize this invitation in your heart. Grab on to this wonderful grace of God. Don't think that you can wait until years from now when your hair starts to turn gray, after you've done all the other things you want to do in life, and then maybe you'll come back and grab the invitation. Because our Lord is warning us, it just might not be there for us anymore. Today is the day to take it. But not only has God sent you this beautiful invitation to learn of Christ and His grace and His gospel, but also He has sent you the very clothes that you are to wear to this wedding. Our own clothes, the Bible often describes as tattered rags. Our own robe of righteousness, you might say, Isaiah says, is filthy rags. And so it's necessary for God to come and drape over us through the waters of baptism and through His word, through the gift of faith, to drape over us the holy, perfect record of our Lord's righteousness. One of the beautiful images that we have in the scriptures throughout, and that pastors often wear with a white gown of some sort or white alb to depict this to the people on a daily basis, that God's grace now covers us in all of our many imperfections. And if you think about this robe and the concept of this robe, and then likewise in Jesus' parable, the man who is thrown out for not wearing this robe, it is to impress upon us this beautiful truth that we celebrate this week, that our entrance into heaven and our presence there is purely by grace alone. Don't think you can ever walk into and sit down at that banquet feast of heaven dressed in your life, dressed in your record in any way. That's why God has had to and has so graciously provided this beautiful robe of righteousness for us to wear. And our Lord Jesus wants us to know as well that He has opened the invitation up to absolutely everyone. And so there's no reason for any one of us here tonight to maybe wonder if we're included in that. If you can hear me tonight, you're included. A theologian once said, "Grab your own wrist, squeeze it. If you have a pulse, God has invited you to heaven." But it also shows us that there may be some surprises in heaven as well. If getting to heaven is purely by the grace of God, there may be some there someday at that banquet feast who weren't initially on the first list to be invited, and yet that gracious invitation reached them as well, and God worked faith in their hearts. There may be some wonderful surprises for us when we finally get to sit down to see who's across the table from us. May you and I, by God's grace, be one of those wonderful surprises. Amen.